Philippians 1, and we're only going to read one verse today in Philippians. Philippians 1 and verse 1, and we'll read it together. All right? Philippians 1 and verse 1, and we'll read it together. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Thank you. May be seated. Lord, once again, we get down, Lord, to thank you for another Lord's Day that you let us live to see. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the number, Lord, that's turned out today. A good Sunday school lesson, Lord, and good Sunday school attendance today. We thank you, Lord, for that. Pray the Word of God feed the Lord's people and help us to grow in their grace and knowledge and wisdom, Lord, of the ways of God. Father, as we come this morning, we just pray this morning, Lord, that you bless, Lord, the preaching today,
yes, Father,
that it have the Spirit of God in it,
yes,
and on it, Lord. And I pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, bring things to my remembrance,
yes,
things out of my heart, Spirit, Lord, things old and new, Lord, that you could use today to say what you want to say through your servant today, Lord, I pray. We pray for all the saints today. We pray for those that are here today that have never been saved.
And,
Lord, we pray that God has granted them time to come back one more time to hear the Word of God. And, Lord, we know that God would grant them repentance, Lord, if they would come seeking you this morning. And we ask, Lord, today these favors in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for saving us and keeping us clean. That promise, Lord, that you'll be coming for us soon, Lord. And we're thankful for that. Have your way in this service, Lord, today. We'll give you all the praise for everything that's done and said that's of God. And we'll thank you, praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to look here at this letter. This is Paul's what we call a prison letter. There's some prison epistles. And this is Paul's letter to Philippian believers. And he wrote this letter from a prison. And I know we read there, the Bible said, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. So I know that he wrote this letter with the Philippians in mind. And he was directing it to their church, the people there at Philippi. But we also take interest in this because that we too are a saint of God if we've been saved.
Yes.
He said, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And if we're saved today, we're a saint. A lot of times people say, well, I ain't no saint, preacher. Well, if you're saved, the Bible classifies you as being a saint.
That's right.
You're not being a very good one. But the Bible classifies you as being a saint. Amen.
Amen.
And Paul's writing to the church here, the people here at Philippi. And we see a few things here on starting out here. We see that that Paul remembered these folks. Even though he wasn't there, we see he remembered them because the Bible said, he said at every remembrance, he said. So he didn't think about them all the time, but there was times that he thought about them and they come into his mind. And I often tell people when I tell them I'm going to pray for them, I say, I'll pray for you at every remembrance.
Right.
If God brings you to my mind, I'll pray for you.
Amen.
That way, you know, I won't be telling them I'm going to do something that I don't do.
Right.
I think a lot of times people tell folks that. They say, well, I'll pray for you. And then sometimes we wonder if they ever do or not.
Right.
But Paul said that every remembrance, he said. And so he remembered them. He was thankful for them.
Yes.
Because he said, making request of you with joy. And he said, I thank my God, he said. So he was thankful for these believers. Well, I'm thankful for every Christian. Even though they may not all be doing, you know, exactly like they ought to do and faithful like we want them to be, sometimes I'm thankful for any kind of a Christian. If they believe in the Lord, I pray and hope that we can all be better Christians,
yeah,
but I'm thankful for anybody that you know, stand up for the Lord and believe on Him, be saved. I'm thankful for them. God knows we need more of them in the world in which we're now living. Amen. And so this letter is not only to the Philippians there. Paul was writing this. Of course, he didn't know, I don't think, that this was going to be part of the Word of God. But when he was writing this, when God completed the Bible and put it together, this was part of it. And we know that Paul was inspired of the Holy Spirit when he was writing. He was a holy man of God that was moved by the Spirit, and he wrote what God told him to write. And so when it became part of the Bible, it became something that was not just for the Philippians, but it became something that was for every Christian.
Amen.
It's for everybody. Amen. And so I want to look at a few things here. This morning I'm going to try to preach Christ and Him crucified, and I'm going to try not to preach myself. You know, sometimes we preach ourselves. Paul said, I don't preach myself, but he said, I preach Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now, every preacher tells things about himself, as Paul did many times. Whenever we talk about ourselves, it ought to be to the effect that it's going to wind up coming to Christ somehow or another. That we're going to preach Him and Him crucified. And so like all the Bible, you know, you see Christ through all the Bible. And in this Philippian letter, I see Christ all the way through it. Amen. So this morning, I got some good news and bad news. The bad news is that I'm going to preach from all of the book of Philippians. But the good news is there's only four chapters. Amen. It's like when I called Brother Epps after he came here several years ago. And I called him one day and I said, Brother David, I got some good news and some bad news. And I said, which one you want first? And he said, well, he said, Brother Rick said, I hear so much bad news. Said, give me the good news first. I said, all right, brother. I said, we had a business meeting last night, and we voted to take you on for monthly support. He said, that's great. Praise God. He said, thank you, preacher. I appreciate that. He said, now what's the bad news? I said, we can only do it 1 month. And he kind of was silent there on the other end for a few minutes, and then he responded right. He said, well, thank God that's 1 month I didn't have. Amen. But when we look at the Bible here and Paul writing, I want to look at a few things here. They're all about Christ. But first of all, I want to say when he wrote this letter to the believers at Philippi, he didn't write very long until he began to talk about a performance that's found in verse 6.
Yeah.
He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform, there it is, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so the performance here that he talks about in verse 6, he talks about a performance that's going to be done by Christ, and it's going to be fulfilled one day, as he says there, at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the verse a little bit closer here, if you will. And he says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day.
Yeah.
First day of what? Well, I think the first day, I believe there's a day, there's a precise time when this performance, this work begins.
Yeah.
And you say, when is it? Well, I think it's when you get saved.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lord does any work on you until you get saved.
Yeah.
Now, I live out there at 1721 Rofa Road. Most of you know where I live. And my wife, she said when she was a little girl, her grandmother lived out past there, and they would ride by there. And she'd be in the back seat, I guess her and her sister, and said she'd look at that house and said she'd always dreamed that one day that she could live in that house. So she's living the dream, amen? She's living the dream. And we bought that house. We'd had two or three before that, but we bought that house, Brother Nathan. And we have done a lot of work to it. We have put new floors in, I think, the bathroom, the kitchen. We have added a bathroom. We have put a roof, several roofs on that house. We have put carpet down many times. We have redone the plumbing. We have had to build a porch on it and build a deck on it. And we have done a lot of work on that house in the last 20, 25 years that we lived there. But I will tell you something. I never drove one nail until I bought it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying is the Lord, He never done no work on you until you became His.
Yeah.
But the day that you became His, He began a work.
Yes.
A work in
right.
you.
Right.
Now, notice something here. He didn't say begin a work on you, but He said He began a work in you.
Amen.
That's it.
Now the work started inside.
Right. Yes.
You didn't see much going on for a while.
Right.
And I'll tell you, after living at that house for all the many years we've lived there, I want to tell you something, that it looks a lot better today than it looked when we moved out there.
Amen.
And we started working on the inside. We didn't start on the outside. We started on the inside, kind of worked our way out.
Right.
And that's what the Lord does.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
The Lord starts on the inside when we get saved.
Amen.
And He begins to work His way out.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why somebody gets saved on Sunday, comes in here with a long hair and earrings and all, nose rings and eye rings and slouchy dressed and all this stuff, and they come and get saved, and they might come back that night, and the next Sunday morning they might come back and look the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody said they didn't get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lord started working on the inside.
Amen. Amen.
And He's going to work His way out.
Yeah.
Jack Lester used to say that you can't clean fish until you catch them.
Right.
There's a lot of truth to that. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord started on the inside. I seen a young man the other day, and he had these earrings in his ears, and these big black things that you can stick a .22 shell full of. He had them in there. He had tattoos all from his neck down, all the way over his arms and everything. And he knew me, seen me, come over, and he said, I began to talk to him, and I said, "Are you in church?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I go to church." He named the church, and he said, talk for a while, and he said, "I just thank God I got my life straightened out with the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I shouldn't. You know, we had a lesson about that today, about judging people, you know. But maybe God had started on the inside and it just hadn't worked its way out yet. Amen.
Yeah,
but there's a precise time when that began.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Paul said, "I'm persuaded that it's going on."
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
He said, "I'm confident," the word he said, "I'm confident that this work is going on."
Yeah.
He said, "I believe God's doing something."
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes we say God's doing something with that boy.
Right.
Amen.
God's doing something with that young lady.
Yeah.
God's at work.
Praise the Lord.
Paul said, "I'm sure He's doing it."
Right.
And sometimes people will say, "Brother Rick, my boy said he got saved," and he said, "I just hope it turns out all right." But I want to tell you tonight, or this morning, that if he started right,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm persuaded he'll end up right.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said, "I'm confident about it."
That's right.
Amen. You say, "Why did he say that?" Well, I think he said that because of the person. You know, Paul was persuaded about some things.
Yes,
right.
Paul said, I'm persuaded in whom I've committed some things.
Right.
Said,
right.
Persuaded he's able to keep things.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why Paul was so confident about his soul and about eternity.
Yes. Right.
Because he wasn't keeping himself.
Yes.
But somebody else was keeping it for him.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 42:4 said, "He shall not fail."
Right.
The Lord don't fail.
That's right.
And if He started a work in you, Paul said He's performing, doing a performance in you, and He'll finish it someday.
That's right.
Amen.
Now the person here is, we're told in the verse, that's doing this work is not Bethel Baptist Church, it's not Brother Rick,
right.
It's not even ourselves, but He said we'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And He said, "He which hath begun a good work in you." He, that's Christ.
Amen.
He said, "I believe that Christ is the person that is doing the work, and so I'm confident He'll finish the work."
Yes.
Romans 8:28 said, "All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to the purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate.
Amen.
That they might be conformed into the image of His Son.
Amen.
You say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? That means He's working on you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
They used to sing a little song, He's still working on me.
Right.
The kids would sing that. He's still working on you and me too. You're
right.
Amen. You're not done yet.
Amen.
Amen.
If you was, you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be on fire.
Yes. Amen.
Because in 1 John 3:1, it said, Beloved, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us.
Yeah.
That we might be called the sons of God. The world knoweth us not because it don't know Him.
Right.
But it said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
Yeah. Right.
But when He appears, we shall be like Him.
Amen.
Amen. So He's doing a work on us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to be looking a little more like Christ all the time. Don't
Amen.
You think so?
Yes.
We ought to be looking more like Him all the time. You'll be able to see more Christ in our life.
Amen. Right.
So I see here a performance in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible said, Let this mind be in you,
Lord,
which was also in Christ Jesus. In chapter 2, verse 5. Please notice the word let. Let this mind be in you. God's not going to force it in you.
Right.
Nobody else can put it in you.
Right.
But He said, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if in chapter 1 I see a performance of Jesus Christ, in chapter 2 I see a pattern of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, He's the pattern.
Yes.
We oftentimes try to copy each other.
Yeah.
We try to be like somebody else.
Right.
But why would we want to copy a duplicate if we have the original?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, you can copy a duplicate if you want to, but you'll be better off to go by the original. You'll get a better reproduction if you go by the original. Amen.
That's right.
And so we ought to want to be like Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, he said. And so we see here that there's a pattern. I remember, I don't know if women do much of this anymore, but my mother used to buy dress patterns.
Yeah.
And with five girls, she'd, make them dresses and things, and she'd lay that material out and lay that pattern out and then kind of cut that material around to where it would be like the pattern.
Right.
That's what she would do.
Right.
And so we have a pattern here that we're to be like, we're to strive for.
Amen.
And the pattern here is talking about the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Here's what you want to shoot for.
Right.
Here's the way you want to think.
Yes.
Here's the kind of mind that you and I are supposed to have as believers in Christ.
Amen.
Say, what kind of mind do you have, Brother Rick? Well, he says here in chapter 2, he says, Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And back in verse 4, he said, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It was a kind of a selfless mind.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't just think about himself. He thought about others.
Amen.
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 And Scotty brought out in Sunday school this morning that sometimes we can be selfish and think only of ourselves, and everything, the object of the goal is everything somehow or another coming back to us.
Right.
But Christ, His mind was selfless is what His mind was.
Amen.
He done what He told us to do. He said, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be interested in other people.
Amen.
Think some about other people and what they're going through and what they're doing. Amen.
Amen.
He said a selfless mind. We're living in a day, when it's all about self.
Yes.
I don't do much on the computer and all the new things they have, but I was preaching last year about along this line, and Brother Nathan come to me afterwards, and he said, Brother Rick, he said, did you know that people take a picture of theirself and they post that picture, and he said, you know what they call it? And I said, no. He said, they call it a selfie. They put a picture of theirself. Well, that's the age we're living in. It's an eye age.
Yeah.
Someone said we listen to our iTunes and we play on our iPads, and it's all Well, the I part sounds more like the devil, and it sounds more like lost people, like that man in Luke 12, that you read that little parable Jesus told, and it was all about him. Now, we have to think about ourselves. Somebody said, "Preacher, I have to take care of myself. Nobody else will." I said, "What about the Lord?" Amen. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But selfless. And then notice this in verse 7 of chapter 2. He had a servant's mind. He said, but he made himself of no reputation and took on him the form of a servant.
That's right.
Now, last year I preached several sermons on servanthood. And I found that to be a subject that, boy, there's not a lot out there on it. Not a lot of sermons on servanthood. Not a lot of books on servanthood. Just hard to find a lot about it. You say, why? Well, I guess nobody wants to be a servant. Nobody's interested in servanthood and the servant's heart. But yet Christ was a servant.
Amen.
That's what he did. He served everybody.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You say, what did he do? Well, he fed the hungry.
Yeah.
Yes. He fed the hungry, served the hungry. You say, what did he do? He washed the dirty.
Yeah.
He washed the dirty. Yeah. He ministered to the sick.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. He ministered to them. He preached to others.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole life could be summed up in that word, others.
Right.
Seemed like there's something else he did for others. Oh yeah, he died on the cross for other people. He didn't need to die for himself. He died on the cross for others. Amen. And so you and I, Paul wrote to these Philippians, and he said you need to follow the pattern there of the Lord.
Amen.
Boy, wasn't Paul some kind of a Christian? I mean, he didn't write nothing in there about get somebody together and get me some bail and get me out of here. Nothing about that. He just, he really didn't even change what he was doing.
Right.
He says in his book, if I live, I'm going to live for Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, if I die, he said, I'll be with Christ.
Amen.
So he said, whether living or dying, my life's all about Christ. That's what he said. Amen.
Amen.
So he had a servant's mind.
Yeah.
Then we see in verse 8 of that chapter, he said he being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Humbled himself. He had a humble mind.
Yes.
Bible said he humbled himself.
Yeah, he did.
Amen.
We're living in if we're in the last days, and I believe we are, we're living in a generation that's, the Bible said they're proud.
Right.
Boasters of their own self.
Right, that's right.
So a proud generation.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible said that as Christians, we're to have a humble mind. Amen.
Amen.
Have a humble mind. You know, men are just born with a natural instinct to be proud.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lot of things in us. We have a natural instinct for rebellion.
Right.
It's just in us. We have to fight it. Once we get saved, we have God helping us, and so He can help us fight it. Amen.
Amen.
Illustration. Us men don't like other people tell us what to do, right?
Right.
Amen, brother.
We don't like that. Don't tell me what to do. I'm a man. Nobody tells me what to do. I have one of them GPSs, what you call them. Cheryl brought me the first one I ever had, and I've had several since then. And I really couldn't hardly live without that one of them. I think it's the greatest invention in a long time. And the only negative thing about it is that they put a woman's voice on there, and then I got two women telling me what to do. But you know, a man will just do this. A man will, he'll drive and go somewhere. We've done it hundreds of times. We've been lost so many times that it ain't even funny. Amen. Now, I'm just not good at directions. I've traveled thousands of miles in the last several years. I'm still not real good at directions. But Mark, you don't like Penny telling you you're wrong about your driving, do you? People just don't like that. I don't like that. Yeah. But we'll get lost, and you know, a man, I know he's lost, and he's driving, but he don't want to let on like he's lost, you know. sits up there like he knows exactly where he's going.
Amen, brother.
His wife will say, I believe we're lost. No, we're not lost. I know where I'm going. I know right where I'm at. You just hang on. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, won't you stop asking? I don't need to ask nobody. I know where I'm going. I'm a man. I can drive. I can get where I want to go. I don't need anybody else's help.
Yeah.
Amen,
brother.
Yeah.
Right.
The way men are, amen.
Right.
Is your man like that?
Oh.
Yeah. Some of the awfulest battles we've ever had is being lost.
Right.
In a big city. And my wife, her way of thinking is she'll say, I know it's around there because I remember that McDonald's. Of course, there's five of them in every town, so, you know, who knows? But finally, I've been lost and drove hundreds of miles out of the way, literally.
Amen.
And burn up hundreds of dollars worth of gas.
Amen.
Yeah.
And been late sometimes getting where I was going, all because that I was too proud to listen to my wife or to stop and get help from somebody that may have known which way to go. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that lack of humility can get in the way of us reaching our destination sometimes.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
See, God's working on us. He's trying to get us somewhere. He's trying to make something out of us. But sometimes we get so proud that we know more than God does. We won't listen to God.
Amen.
We won't submit to God. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
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 Good preaching.
Yeah.
Zach, he's just a little boy. We got that first GPS. We went to somewhere, I don't remember where it was. Just as we just about got there, that lady come on, you know, and she said, you've now reached your destination. Zach said, Pop, I love to hear her say that. But you know, one of these days,
yes.
Oh God, we're going to reach a destination.
Yeah.
I don't know if the angels or the Lord or who it's going to be, but I think somebody's going to say, you finally reached your destination. Welcome home.
Hallelujah.
I'm saying there's a pattern in Jesus Christ. We ought to try to be like Him.
Amen. Amen.
Read about Him. Study about Him. Learn how He did things. Learn how He fights. Learn how He loved. Learn how He prayed. Learn how He preached.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let Him be the pattern.
Right.
Amen.
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 And then look over in chapter 3. And look in verse 13. The Bible said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Now we have a performance of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. He's working on you. He's doing something. You may not be able to see it yet. You may have to go back to the potter's wheel several times.
Where?
Right.
Thank God He didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
He molds us and makes us over and over again. But He's doing a performance. He's doing a work right now in your life. If you're saved, He's doing a work.
Amen.
He's cutting some things away, putting some things in. Pressing a little bit here, molding a little bit over here. But He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
That's right.
He knows how He wants it to come out.
Yeah.
Amen,
yeah.
Brother Rick.
And then we see a pattern in Christ. He's our pattern. We're to pattern our life after Christ.
Yeah.
Somewhere a long time ago, we started patterning after this one or that one.
Right.
And we just got farther and farther away from Him. We need to go back to the original pattern.
Amen.
Pattern after Christ. But here in chapter 3, we see there's a pursuit after Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there. I've not arrived. I hadn't made it yet. I'm not all I'm going to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
He says. But I'm pursuing it. I'm going after it, he says. I want to be like Him. I'm not there yet, but I'm pursuing Him.
Yes.
Right.
I'm pursuing Him.
Amen.
A.W. Tozer, who was a great writer, and one of his classic works is called The Pursuit of God. It's a Christian classic. I've read it several times and highly recommend it, but it's called The Pursuit of God. He talks about how the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Right.
And I used to read that and I used to think, how can David be a man after God's own heart? The things David did, how can it be after a man after God's own heart?
Right.
But I take that verse to mean literally what it says, that David was a man after God's heart.
Yeah,
in other words, it's like somebody in front of me and I'm after him. I want to be like that. I want that. I'm after something like that.
Right.
I believe that God knew that David was a man that wanted a heart like God.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
He wanted a heart like God.
Right, yeah. Right. Amen.
He was a man after God's own heart. He was,
yeah,
he was in pursuit of that. You and I ought to be in pursuit of that.
Right.
Amen.
Somehow or another, see, Paul said, I'm not yet obtained. I hadn't arrived.
Right.
We sometimes get the our theology, the thinking is that I got saved, so I'm done. I'm there. Right. I'm going to heaven someday. I've done it. Thank God I'm through. Salvation is the starting line.
Amen.
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 It's the starting line.
Right.
God's begun a good work in us. He Amen. Will finish that work, but it's not done yet. Amen.
Amen.
You say, I don't think I need that. Well, Paul wrote this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And he wrote 13 or 14 books of the Bible.
Right.
Amen.
And he unfolded 7 mysteries that nobody else unfolded.
Amen.
Right.
He was the apostle to the Gentiles, yeah, handpicked of God.
Yeah.
He was a great, great man that God made him to be.
Amen.
And here's what he said after already many years of service. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend him. This one thing I do,
yeah,
forgetting the things that are behind, I press on."
Amen.
It's a desire there that I might know him. I want to deeper walk with the Lord. I want to know more about my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Desire there. So, yeah.
Amen.
Then notice this. There's a direction there in that pursuit. He said, forgetting those things which are behind.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some people, Brother Gordon, can never go forward because they're always
right.
going backwards.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
They can never let go of that divorce 14 years ago back there in their life.
Right. Bless him, Lord.
They can never let go of that bad childhood back there in their
Amen.
Life.
Right.
They can never let go of the sinful life back there
Amen.
That they couldn't believe in. Paul said, forgetting all of those things
Amen.
That are behind Amen. Me. I don't think about them. I don't look back. I don't dwell on them. I don't think about them. That's all behind you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I'm a blood.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm looking forward.
Right. Glory to God.
Nobody ever won a race going backwards.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said we're in a race.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
He said we're in this Christian race. He
Amen.
Said lay aside everything and do it so easily beset you and run with patience. Looking behind you to Jesus. No, it's not what he says. He said looking up to Jesus.
Right.
Looking ahead, looking forward. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't waste what you got out there
yeah.
worrying about what you had and lost yeah. back there.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Some people, God gives them all these good years and things up ahead, but they can never enjoy them because they're always dwelling back there.
Right. Amen.
They're always wanting to go back there. The devil's always wanting to take you back there.
Yeah.
Amen.
But the Bible said when you got saved, God forgive you for all that back to
life. Forgive me.
And if it was after you got saved, if you ask God, He forgive you for it then.
Amen.
He put it all in under His blood. He cast it in the sea of forgiveness. He fold it behind His back.
Amen.
Yeah.
He don't want us looking back there and dwelling on it unless we can use it in a way to minister and to help somebody.
Yeah.
You know, to find the Lord. Let them know. Well, I know where you're at. I was like that or maybe worse. And look what God did for me. And,
right.
and if God did that for me, God can do something for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so there's that pursuit.
Right.
Then there's a determination. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard running a race.
Yes.
That's right.
I remember we used to run that 600 yard dash in school. Buddy, that's rough. Amen. You start out pretty good, you know. But after you you start out, you know, just ahead of everybody else, looking back, praise God, I can outrun everybody. And then you realize they're smarter than I was. They started out slow. They're picking up speed toward the end. Running a race is hard. You have to discipline yourself. You have to make yourself run it. Amen.
Right.
You have to get up every morning and run this race, this rat race, this human race we're in. But most of all, this Christian race, we have to keep running despite how we feel, what our desires may, our flesh may be telling us. We have to deep down inside saying, I'm not giving up till I cross the finish line.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Determination.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. Yes. Somebody used to sing a song, I got my foot on the rock, my mind's made up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let me say lastly, look over in chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now we got a performance that Christ is doing. He's working in you right now. Some months, looks like Brother Parrish and them do construction work. And I'm sure some months when everything's just right, man, it goes by. And they're like, you know what they're doing is like, you know, I pass by and they're just starting to build the foundation. And you come by and it seems like just a short matter of time, there's already a house there. And you think, how are they getting by so quick?
Yeah.
But other times they lay the foundation and the rain starts in, they can't work, and it drags out for months on end.
Right.
But our life's like that. Sometimes it goes by quicker than others.
Yes.
Sometimes you have 2 or 3 months where you're just beating the band. You're just winning people, witnessing, testifying, praying, getting a lot out of preaching Sunday school. And then you hit those other months in your life where sometimes you're not getting that much out of it, but there's still something going on.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a pattern to be like Christ, the pursuit after Christ. But lastly, there's a provision through Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I see a provision here. He said, my God, but my God. Now that my is an important word in that verse.
Yeah.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
Now there's a lot of things that the Lord will provide, and I'm going to use it right here in the text this morning. First of all, I want to say that he'll provide satisfaction.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan.
Amen.
I'm satisfied. It's sufficient for all men.
Right.
When I got saved as a young man, I've looked for a lot of things, but I've never looked for another Savior.
Right.
Amen.
I've been satisfied with the one I had. I believe he begun a good work. He's still doing that work. I'm persuaded he'll keep me. I believe he'll get me there. And I've never looked for another Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with the Lord.
That's
Amen.
It.
Yeah. And now I want my Lord to be satisfied with me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So satisfaction, Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content.
Yes.
Right now he's in the state of being a prisoner.
Right.
But you don't find any complaints.
Right.
Right.
No complaints about it.
Amen.
None at all. Matter of fact, he said that they're complaining about it. They're upset about it. But Paul said, He says, all this has happened for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah, man.
Right.
God's working a plan. It's part of God's plan.
Right. Son.
And then there's a strength there. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Yes.
I love that verse.
Amen.
Many times in a moment of weakness, when called upon to do something that I think I can't do, I've leaned heavily on that verse.
Bless you.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Rick, I just can't do it. Well, he might be like a young man. I heard his dad told him to go pick up something. And he said, I don't think I can, Dad. He said, oh, you can. He said, just use all your strength you can. And the young boy went over there. He grabbed a hold of that heavy object and he tried to pick it up, and he said, Dad, I can't. And he said, use all your strength, son. And boy, veins popped out and sweat beads, and he tried hard as he could. He said, I can't, Dad. He said, you're not using all your strength, son.
And he said, "Dad, I'm doing all I can." He said, "I'm part of your strength."
Yeah.
You haven't used me yet.
Yeah.
He hadn't asked me yet. And so he said, "Will you help me, Dad?" And he went over there and they both got it and was able to lift it.
Amen.
You see, our problem is sometimes we're not using all our strength.
Right.
We're trying with everything in us, but we forgot we got a Father that's strong and mighty and it'll help us. Thank God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And I like verse 19.
Yeah.
Isn't it a good verse? "But my God shall supply all your need."
That's right.
All your need. You know,
yeah,
Paul, been a preacher like we are today, he'd said, "God supply all my need."
Right.
Yeah.
He said, see, he's thinking about others. "God supply all your need."
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Through Christ Jesus.
Praise
the Lord. Jack Wood said a bum come to him. It was just a bum. And he knew him and everything. He come to him and said, "Brother Jack," said, "I need $500. He said, "Boy, I ain't giving you $500. He said, "Brother Jack, I'm a Christian." He said, "Well, listen," he said, "if you're a Christian, God said that he'd supply all your need. And if he don't, I ain't." God said he'd supply all of our need.
Amen.
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 How many knows who Bill Gates is?
Oh, yeah.
He used to be one of the richest men. I don't know if he still is or not. He's still in the top 10 probably. I asked you something this morning. If Bill Gates was your biological father this morning, would you be worried? Would you be worried about how you're going to eat and how you're going to pay your bills and what's this going to do if your last name was Gates? And Bill Gates was your father. I guarantee you, if he's got any kids, they don't worry about nothing.
Right.
You say, why? They know their father's rich.
Yeah.
Hey, our Father is God the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He's richer than Bill Gates and all the others on that list. And he's promised to supply all of our need.
Amen.
Hold it all.
See, the problem is, Brother Lance, we just can't realize how rich we are.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
I heard about an old man that he lived all his life and he scrimped and saved, paid for his farm, you know, lived a meager life and was a good steward of what God gave him. And his wife had died and he'd done on up in years, 80 years old or so. And he decided that he was going to go on a cruise. He always wanted to go on one of them cruises. And so he went and bought the ticket, you know, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 for a ticket. And the time came and he loaded up on that cruise, and about a 2-week cruise. And he went down in his cabin. They showed him to his room, and he had a little, he had a loaf of bread and had some cheese and crackers, some things he brought along. And he'd sit down there in his cabin and eat them cheese and crackers and all that stuff. And every now and then he'd walk up to the dining room and all that buffet of food laid out. He'd walk around and look at it and think, "Man, I wish I could have got some of that, you know." And last day on that cruise, a man seen him there nibbling on them cheese and crackers and said, "Won't you go in there and get you something to eat?" He said, "I just paid for the ticket for the cruise." He said, "That's included in the cruise. That's included in the ticket. You've been eating cheese and crackers when you could have been dining like a king." And the problem is, I said, you and I sometimes live like paupers and nibble around on our cheese and crackers when our Father has provided a buffet for us.
Amen.
Brother Ziegler used to say, "Brother Rick said, we don't have to beg around on the doorstep of anybody. God's our Father.
Yeah.
And He'll take care of us."
Right.
I've quoted this before, but Leonard Ravenhill, one of his life sayings was this: "If on God's promises I rely, that He my every need will supply. The implication is clear indeed. What He withholds, I do not need."
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So if I don't got it, I don't need it.
Amen.
If I need it, I got it.
That's right.
Amen. That's how he could say, I'm just content in the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
So he told them Philippian Christians, there's a performance going on with Jesus Christ. He's working on you. He's working on y'all if you're saved.
Boy, yeah.
Amen.
He's working on you today. If you come and get saved today, he'll come in your heart and he'll begin to work. You say, I can't live it. Well, you just trust him and learn to follow him and he'll live it. And you just follow him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You done lived that perfect life.
Yeah.
Pattern. Say, well, I didn't have no Christian parents, nobody really to go by. Well, that's not good, but Jesus Christ is our pattern.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go by him. Amen.
That's it.
There's a pursuit. I want to learn more about the Lord and keep studying that Bible. I started reading the Bible through again. And it's amazing, you know, every time you read it through, you read it through every year of your life, if you read it through, it's always getting more. Why? Because every year you're a little bit more mature.
That's right.
Right.
And you've been through some parts of life every year that you hadn't been in the year before. And you hit them verses and they make perfect sense.
Yeah, amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So a pursuit and then a provision. You know, I just believe this. I don't believe God wants us sitting around wringing our hands and worried about ISIS.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
I just don't believe that.
Right.
You say, well, Brother Rick can do such awful things and atrocities. I know they do. And I watch it. But see, like the Lord, you know, he kind of, through his word, is telling me, I don't want my children sitting around scared to death and worried about ISIS.
Right. Amen.
Just live for me every day.
Amen.
I promise to take care of you.
Amen.
I promise to see you through.
Amen.
Whatever comes your way, it's honor to the Lord.
Amen.
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 I'll get you through. Amen.
He will.
We worry more about Jesus Christ and following him and obeying him, living for him. God will take care of the rest of you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Father, I thank you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
For the book of Philippians. I thank you for the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you for these truths. And thank you for Jesus Christ. Every chapter, every poem had to do with something he was doing. Not something I was doing, but something he was doing. And something he promised to do. And I thank you for that. Lord, I know these are, I believe, times when the Bible said many forsake their assembling together. We have a good crowd here, but we see it going on other places. And in that time frame, the Lord said we're to encourage and provoke and exhort one another. And I believe that these times we're living in, that it calls for a lot of preaching like that to keep the saints focused and keeping them remembering about where we're going and who's working on us and the promises that have been made to us and who made them. God, I pray you'd encourage us this morning through the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And we love you, Lord, today. We pray for the lost. Lord, we pray them tracks that are going out and fall upon some fertile ground. Our personal witnessing, not door knocking, trying to get people to the Lord. God will bless it. We'll water them one by one. God will give some increase. And Lord, if there's somebody here today, Lord, that's lived up to this present moment, but they're not saved, I pray today they might come forward at the invitation.
Yes,
where God would draw them.
Yes,
they'd come today. We'd take the word of God and show them what God said. And they just trust the Lord and get it settled today.
Yeah.
Let the great work begin today.
Yes,
and one day you'll complete over on the other side.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand today if you would, please.
Amen.
Jesus, if you would lead us in prayer today, this Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the message.
Very needed message.
Yes, Father.
Lord, thank you for the church we come to hear messages.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for being such a great Savior.
Yes.
Lord, I don't find any problem in what's wrong.
Amen.
Lord, pray you help us to remember this.
Help us.
Yes.
Know that you're not finished with us. We have a homebound one of these days, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Help us. Make it on your power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, help us to be pleasing in your sight.
Yes, Father.
So we can love your appearing, Lord.
Yes.
And not be ashamed when you come to get us.
Help us.
Yes. All that came to prayer today, Lord, pray that you hear them. Minister yes. to them according to your will. Show them what you want for them.
Yes.
I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate you being here today. Any word on anyone's heart today before we dismiss this morning, Brother Eddie?
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick. I'd like to thank him that, I guess it's in John chapter 6, and Peter said, where could I go? Lord, I ask the words. I'm glad he's got the word. Amen?
Amen.
He's got the word for the hour we're living in. I know the world's falling apart, but God's not.
Right.
Amen. He's still exactly where he's always been. He inhabits eternity. Welcomes all to come and join him. I thank God for the day. He had mercy on someone like me. I didn't even know enough Bible to know how to be saved, but I knew one thing. I knew I needed to get saved. And I'm glad he kind of led me down that path, and it ended up at Calvary. I thank God saved old worthless sinner like myself. Appreciate the message today. Appreciate what I felt in my heart. I pray really for what happened today. Be able to feel the presence of God.
Yes.
Been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. 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 All right. Anybody else today? Yes, Brother Jesse.
I got prayed. Prayed the Lord that I can walk and do things now. That for a while I didn't know what I was fit to do.
Amen.
So I prayed the Lord for doing that, and He's a wonderful Lord.
Yeah. Yes,
Amen.
All right. Yes.
I just want to ask the church to keep on
like
the prayers. Bless
you. I'll take care.
Amen. 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 All right. Praise the Lord. All right, then. Yes.
I thank the Lord for saving me, giving strength to what we went through.
Amen. Bless your heart.
Pray you all would, the Lord would help me this week, because I'm learning how to work, feeding you and all this other stuff. But the Lord's good.
Yeah. Bless you.
And I've been able to get out more tracks over the weekend than I've got out. Probably
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for all, for saving me. First thing, I spent a lot of time out there seeing where the Lord is. I just like to thank you for all that you've done for me, man. You keep me in this fold and use me even more next year.
Right. Amen. All right, that's good. All right, anybody else? Today, all hearts clear, yes.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me. Thank Him for
Amen.
My family.
Amen.
Everything He's given me. Don't deserve nothing, but
Amen.
It seems like I always get what I want.
Amen.
And I'd like to ask for prayer for a good friend of mine. He's just in his early 20s, and they found a hole in his pancreas. And he's on a feeding tube now up in Louisville, and they've not given him a good chance of living. I'd just like to ask prayer for
Amen. Amen. All right. Remember these things in prayer. The Lord brings them to remembrance. All right. We're going to let you go. God bless you. Don't forget, we're going to have a guest preacher tonight at 6 o'clock. So hope you'll be here.